Lee, team news. How are you looking? Naitanga, firstly.
We're hopeful. Certainly not definite, because it was a really nasty cut he got to his eye, and it really did close up. It was like he'd gone 10 rounds with Tyson. And we just got to hope that it sinks, really, and flushes that fluid out. We thought about draining it, but we sent him to a specialist, and they said no, it was too close to the eye. We didn't want to suck his eye out as well. So it was a case of just letting time and letting the healing process happen.
So it'll be a late decision on him, will it?
Yeah, he didn't train today, so we'll see how he is tomorrow.
Any other knocks or niggles coming out of the Colchester game?
Just a couple of little niggles, really, that you get when you sort of play two games in 2 days. We did escape reasonably well. It wasn't such a kick, battle and bite type game, was it? It was more sort of spread out and a lot of possession. So I don't think, we certainly didn't get any sort of big eye wax or swollen ankles or anything like that.
Dale Jennings wasn't involved in the matchday squad last week.
Yeah, just not selected for the squad. I said I'd try and pick the team on merit, if you like. And just felt that to win that game, we probably need something else on the bench.
Has he still got some work to do to impress you then?
Well, he's a good player. There's no doubt he's a good player. You see him even today in training. He scored two or three fantastic goals. But it's the fitness levels, really. And if you can't play for me if you can't run. And I'm not saying he can't run. But at the moment, he's got to do a little bit more. And it's not his fault at the moment, because he showed a really good attitude. And he's trying hard. But it's just a case of how quickly it takes to recover, because my game and the way certainly we'll be playing next year is about the transition and winning the ball back quickly in the opposition's half. And if you need time to recover lungs wise then you can't do that, so he's got to get to that stage where he can go, keep going and go again.
How do you go about doing that then? How do you work on that with him?
Well, we've done everything we can with him. We've sort of given him the blood tests. We've sent him to Bolton University, so he's had his VO2 max done, where you sit there on the treadmill. And we've had the lactate done as well in his blood, where as you're running on that treadmill, it takes the lactic acid build-up every minute. So he takes blood off that every minute. We've done all the testing, the yo-yo test, the bleep test, everything that can give you a real picture of where that sort of person is at fitness-wise. Obviously, the body fat, Cybex testing, power, speed. And he comes up very high on the power and the speed. But it's just that sort of recovery time that, at the moment's a bit short.
Is he a frustrated man, then? Because it sounds like he's working hard, from what you're telling us there, trying to get into a condition where he can feature for you.
It's very difficult. I mean, I think anybody that's not playing regular, not starting, is frustrated. And, of course, being a head coach or a manager, it's about making sure that you try and keep the group all right and happy, if you like. Inevitably, players won't be happy, but you've got to give them individual goals. And I think Dale knows one of the goals that he needs to concentrate on is those fitness levels. Because it's only for him, do you know what I mean? It's not about punishment, it's about him being the best he possibly can. And That'll only stand him in good stead if he commits to it. And so far he's looked good. He has improved slightly, not as quick as we'd have hoped. But like I say, just wasn't in the squad on that particular day through obviously the selection issues that I had.
Just a quick reflection then on the Colchester game. James Bailey's just said to us, when the second half was analysed, it actually wasn't as bad as maybe you initially thought.
Well, it's never as bad as you think and never as good as you think when you watch the videos. We all get ruled by the emotion of a game. And actually, in the first half, it was probably the closest to my style that we've played so far. We knocked the ball around at the back. We broke the lines. We attacked down the flanks really well. What we didn't have is the end product in the final third. And I think it took us to about 41 minutes till we got our first shot or something like that. And then obviously we scored the goal. We did have a lot of territory and we demoralised the opposition for our football, but what you have to do is you have to play with a tempo to get 1-2-0 up first. And that's the fine line, really. It's, you want to play the football, but you've got to play winning football. To play that winning football, you need obviously opportunities at goal. If we'd have been 3-0 up and played like we was in the first half, everybody's saying, well, they're Barcelona. Mm. And it's all about perception and people's perception and their emotions at the time, not just fans, but coaches and players as well, affects the thinking. So when we have a full stop meeting, so on the Monday that we talk about it, or after the game, the first day we're in, we do the analysis, and it's a lot less emotional there. It's in the cold light of day. And this time I got the players to do it, because I thought to myself, well, I'm staying up all night, every night, watching the video four times. And it wasn't a punishment, it was a case of, it's an hour, we'll sit there and watch the ball in play, and hopefully the things that I've been talking to them about, they'll start to recognise. Not just what they've done badly, but what they've done well. And there was a lot of stuff that they've done very well. And if we can fine-tune the little bits that they didn't do well in that Colchester game, then we would have gone on to cruise that pretty comfortably. But what's so upsetting and frustrating for us all is that we were sat there on the side expecting to win, especially the way we started. The players were expecting to win. The opposition were expecting us to win. And then through a poor goal conceded, all of a sudden they fold like a pack of cards, and that can't happen, because you have to stay in games. You can't win every game, but you have to make sure that you don't lose.
So you said you got the players to analyse it. Is that about maybe in some ways educating them football intelligence wise? Is that you trying to get them to take a bit of responsibility for it and realise it themselves, as opposed to just being told it all the time?
Yeah, completely. There's many different ways of learning, isn't there? And we had the two units, the defenders and the attacking unit, sat down watching it separately. And it's also about communication for them, because a striker might, for example, one of the things that George was saying was, we played some great football. When the ball went up to him, there was no one near him, because they're all looking for the ball. And then the midfield say, all right, so how are we going to do it? We work our rotations and we work them well, but someone needs to be at the point of it to be in touch with George, so that he can be the one that slips through the winger in an upset through. And they're just the little sort of technical points that it's good that if the players can see them themselves, if you're making them concentrate and understand exactly what you're trying to achieve, but not just what I'm trying to achieve, what they're trying to achieve, because we want Conor Hourihan high up the pitch because we know he can finish. We want people running off George Waring because we know he's a pivot point. We want James Bailey getting on the ball in deep areas because we know he can switch the play and switch the point of attack. We want to play a high line because we want to win the ball back high up the pitch and then steal it off them and try and get a shot off quickly, because that's how most goals are scored. So it's just about the players really taking that responsibility, not as a punishment, but as a learning process, and then delivering to the other players that didn't play because they were training about what our game is.
What sort of planning is going on now for next season? I know you haven't given up on this season yet, but what sort of planning have you got in place looking at signings, maybe even loan players that you've got, considering extensions and considering deals in the summer?
Yeah, well, we've been planning since I come in. Of course, you plan for any eventuality. The minute you stop planning in football, you get caught short. So it was a case of, yes, there's no secrets that we're planning. We've got our new recruitment team in now, headed by Brian Young, and he's been very good. I've enjoyed working with him so far. We've got our room that's top secret. We're not calling it a black box room, but I am. And that's going to have all the sort of details and statistics of the players that we're looking to bring in. And it's really in depth, without going into too much detail. We're not just playing at it. This is not write a few names on the back of a fag packet and see who comes up. Otherwise, we end up with Benson and Hedges playing like a Mike Bassett. Simon, actually, Ryan Hedges, is not bad. And Paul Benson. Well, I'm really positive about it because, of course, it's exciting because it's the bit where you're playing Championship Manager for real, isn't it? And every boy's dream. So
every fan's dream, because they all want to know if you've got the backing to do that, if you're expecting a big turnaround this summer.
Well, listen, the evolution of a football club means there'll be players going out and there'll be players coming in. Of course there will. Of course we'd like to retain some of the ones that are out of contract because they're good players, and we'd like to add quality. Naturally you'll lose a couple as well, and as the end of the season draws nearer, I'll start talking to players about how I see it and how we see the future. So, but you also talk to players that are out of contract already, and like I say, it's been really positive. people can see what we're trying to do, and there's some good players out there that would like to join us.
Can you still make the playoffs this season?
We can. I'd say it's slim. It's a slim chance. I'd probably give it a 5% chance, if I'm honest now. Disappointed, really disappointed Easter weekend for us. In the first game, more so for the fans, because I know how big and important that is to them. In the big picture, probably a couple of games too far. It's going to be very difficult to keep that sort of sustained run going. And then, of course, Colchester. You've been had a punch on the nose, if you like, at Sheffield United. And then you go to Colchester and you want the team to sort of bounce back. And I thought they did, actually. I'll be as honest as the day is long, and sometimes people will say I'm completely wrong, and that's OK. But I stand by the players that I thought for 60, 70 minutes even, we was OK, and verging on half-decent. But the tiredness set in, and a couple of players you could see physically and mentally drained very quickly, and they got their sort of their sails up, if you like, and got a head of steam, and it was difficult to come back once we conceded two sloppy goals.
If that 5% chance is going to come off for you, then is this almost a perfect game to get this little final run going with another derby game here at Oakwell?
Yeah, well, there's two sort of trains of thought, isn't there? One is you fight to the death, and of course we do that. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you've seen it. We've done it already this year, where we've gone sort of like six wins on the spin. And it happens. It happens in football. It always happens in some league late. This is going to be a big one, of course, because it's Chesterfield and they're sort of hugging on to that spot, if you like, that sixth spot. So, yeah, it's a case of this is our sort of first cup final, if you like, and we've got to make sure that we play better than we did in the home game against Sheffield United.
So what do you need to do in this game that you didn't do in that game?
Well, I thought in the Sheffield United game we didn't get a foothold up front. I didn't feel that, obviously we played a diamond between Jabbo, Sam and Cameron Stewart that was at the tip of that. We didn't have anywhere near enough play. And what that does is, if them three are not being effective, then it actually puts you on the back foot, because against a diamond, of course, your weakness is the switch ball. So if you're not holding it up and they get the opportunity to switch the play, like they did, because they're a good team, then, of course, your midfield three are doing extra work and your full-backs are exposed. When you win the ball back quickly, then you've got numbers, of course, high up the pitch in good areas. And that's what you're sort of playing up against, the risk-reward, if you like. And that's what we didn't do on the day. I went with the two strikers on the day because I felt that Big Jabbo was fantastic against Bristol City, and Sam was chomping at the bit, and the passion that Sam shows and the crowd and everything that Sam brings, I felt would have been effective. On the day, did I get it wrong? I don't know. I'm not sure whether it would have changed. I'll let you be the judge of that.
I know that you had a brief loan spell with Chesterfield, but what do you make to them now under Paul Cook?
Well, I think they're a good side. I think like people that know players know that they recruited well, and I always expected them to be up there. They've got a decent budget, really, probably surprisingly decent, but they've got it going down there, and they've stuck in there. They've stuck at it, but they've got good players, and if you've got good players, that the cream always rises, doesn't it? And eventually you'll do all right.